safety first. Victorian Leicester schools have very low attendance figures at schools in Leicester, are despite the reckless return pushed by the Tory government for the 1st of June. Many schools had already postponed starting dates, and this is a small victory. But we need to continue to campaign for no return until it's safe. There is still no proper contact tracing in place, and so far none of the National Education Union's, no, 5 tests have been met. Parents across the country got organized informed groups to bolster the confidence of teachers and show that parents share their concerns. In Leicester, our Safety First campaign now has over 100 members, consisting of local parents and education workers. We are continuing to build our network to ready ourselves for the fights to come. These will include battles around secondary schools opening, and especially if teachers start needing to withdraw their labor due to health and safety, or if schools are forced to close again due to further COVID outbreaks. It is vital that we continue to resist the demonization of teachers, in particular the new, by the government and right-wing media, by forging even stronger links between parents and the trade union movement. One method of doing this could be that parents who are trade unionists move motions in solidarity with the NU and their union branches. Our campaign is also proposing a car cavalcade protest to the local trade union council to show our support and protest at the unnecessary risk to the health of our communities. The fight continues. No return until it's safe. We'll push them. We can push them further. Lindsay Morgan, Leicester Socialist Party solidarity from a secondary school teacher sending solidarity to all those teachers and parents who are using their well-founded instincts to defy the government's reckless back-to-school decision. Just for the record, I'm a secondary teacher of a non-core subject, so it is unlikely that anybody is going to ask me to go back to school. But just in case anybody assumes that I'm sat here twiddling my thumbs, at the moment this is what my week looks like. 1. Setting online assignment for 9 classes. 2. Checking the previous assignments done by these classes. 3. Doing pastoral well-being phone calls to 22, 17-year-olds and their families. 4. Marking about 40 A-level essays. 5. Attending a number of Zoom meetings with colleagues. 6. Recording some podcasts for distance learning. 7. Making lesson resources to be used online. 8. Emailing parents and students who are understandably struggling to keep up with distance learning. 9. Having finished the complex process of working out teacher assessments for GCSE and A-level, now planning how we are going to resume the normal curriculum again in September 10th. And one day this week actually going in to school to look after vulnerable students and the children of key workers. I'm probably spending as much time working as I would be if I was in school. And because the structure of my students and their parents' days has gone to pieces, I'm receiving email queries pretty much all around the clock. I'm not asking for sympathy, because this only just represents doing the job I'm paid for, like every other teacher in the country. But I wanted to make it clear that our working days are not spent sipping cold beer and having BBQs in the garden. I didn't become a teacher because I wanted to stare at a laptop for hours every day, or because I wanted to work in a call center. For my own mental health, I can't wait to get back into a classroom before I put a fist through my laptop. However, like a significant number of the government's scientific advisors, and knowing kids and the school environment, I think any decision to return to school before the R is lower, track and test is in place, social distancing is possible, and PPE is available, it's premature and reckless. That's all, the bell's just gone, and break time is over. A secondary school teacher, North London.